Bookworms Unite. It's our annual Best and Overlooked Books Show. Maybe someday soon, maybe after the holidays or during the next snowstorm, you'll have time to sink your teeth into a new book and read it cover to cover. Or maybe you're a ravenous reader. Who cares what else is on your plate? You tear through two or three books a week. Whatever your bibliophile profile, today's main calling is for you. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We have recommendations today on the annual Best and Overlooked Books Show. 2019 brought new titles from some of Maine's big name authors, from Richard Russo to Elizabeth Strout, Tess Gerritsen to Stephen King. Is Olive Again on your list? Jerry Boyle's Random Act. We'd love to hear from you. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Few presents are better to give or receive than just the right book. But which book to choose? Fiction or nonfiction? Classic literature or Stephen King horror? My guests today are here to share some of their favorite reads of the year, and we want to hear about the books you loved, the ones that maybe didn't live up to your expectations, and those you would like to share. In the studio with me, Meredith Charest. She is Readers Advisory and Circulation Assistant at the Falmouth Memorial Library. Gary Lawless, co-owner of Gulf of Maine Books, and Ari Gerson, owner of Longfellow Books. And as always, and even more than usual, we want to hear from you. Which book was your favorite read of 2019? We are going to go to callers early and often today, so please share your recommendations. Call 1-800-399-3566, email talk@mainepublic.org, or tweet at Maine Calling. Thank you all for being here. And, you know, Gary, in the beginning of the show, I mentioned that some really big name Maine authors had new books out this year. One of your favorites is Elizabeth Strout's new book.
That's right. That's right. Very much so. It's our biggest title. It's because it's Brunswick, and people are coming in to see if places in Brunswick are in the book, and a lot of people have already read Olive Kittredge, and this is a follow-up to Olive. It's called Olive Again, so people are quite excited about it.
Have you read it?
Yes, I have. It's funnier than the first Olive Kittredge.
Oh, really?
I think there's a real sense of humor to it that's very, very interesting and really well written. So, yeah, we love it.
Okay, and it's gotten a lot of attention. She's had a piece on the PBS NewsHour, mm-hmm. and so really exciting for Elizabeth Strout. And again, her new book only out about a month, Olive Again. Are you finding the same thing, Ari? Is it the number one book at Longfellow or something else?
Yeah, it's not our number one book. We actually do have up the top 25 of 2019. The Overstory is ended up being our top seller.
That
this
is sitting
year.
Next to my bed. It's at my bedside. Yeah. I haven't cracked it open yet. Tell me about The Overstory.
It's not, well, I haven't read it. I apologize, but that is our number one. What I love though is that our number two is If I Built a School by Chris Van Dusen. and you know, it sort of speaks to that locality of it's just so we have so much talent here that you know, actually Chris has two on our top 25.
Two on your top 25. And for anybody who has been hiding under a rock and doesn't know, a Chris Van Dusen book is likely a children's book, and it has remarkable and really wonderful illustrations.
He's wonderful. He's fantastic. And honestly, to see Blueberries for Sale as our number 19 after all these years is, we love that.
What do you think it is? Why Blueberries for Sale?
How could you not? I mean, that's the only thing I can say.
But as opposed to one of McCloskey's other books or say, Charlotte's Web or...
I think that there is... I used to go hike and pick blueberries growing up in Acadia. You know, we'd go to Acadia. I think there's something about coming to Maine in the summertime. I think there's something about blueberries. That book nailed it.
Meredith, your turn. What are you going to throw out there at the beginning? What are you seeing? What are you seeing at the library? What do most people want to check out?
People want to check out everything. Definitely the bestsellers, but a lot of biographies, a lot of memoirs. I would throw out Rough Magic by Laura Pryor Palmer. She was a 19-year-old who was an equestrian and just had that wanderlust and decided to enter a race. It was in Mongolia. You ride 25 wild horses, 1,000 kilometers. And she could write about it, and she could write about it so beautifully, just about her sort of wanderlust, but also you felt like you were there.
Mm. And this is a 2019 book.
This is a 2019
book. Magic by Laura Pryor Palmer. All right, some great recommendations. Let's turn from, and what I need to back up and say is all three of our guests on today's program have provided us with a list of recommendations. Those will be posted on the Maine Calling webpage, the Maine Calling Facebook page, and we will add to their recommendation all of yours. So at the end of this project that is Maine Calling today, we're going to have a great big list for you to poke around and see what you might like. The title of this show, though, is Best and Overlooked Books. So, Gary, what falls into the overlooked category for you?
I've got a couple. The list I sent in actually was primarily Maine authors, and I was thinking of Sherry Mitchell, who's a Indigenous Penobscot woman. She's an attorney and an activist, and she published an incredible book called Sacred Instructions, Indigenous Wisdom for Living Spirit-Based Change. And her name actually in Penobscot means she who brings the light. And this book sort of brings the light into ways to get the planet back in balance. And it's a really important and really wonderful book by an original Maine author. She's a Maine author before there was Maine. So
I love that. So Sherry Mitchell, Sacred Instructions, Indigenous Wisdom for Living Spirit-Based Change. What about you, Ari? Throw out an overlooked book.
This is going to be a funny segue. So I thought about this. There were two books that came out this year. One is by a relatively local author, Jed Coffin, who I think has been on this show before.
Mm-hmm.
So that his book is Rough House Friday. And then another one is called Why We Fight by Josh Rosenblatt. Jed's is sort of a memoir. Josh's is, I'll call it a meditation. Both of them basically took on, I'll call it violence, you know, boxing, mixed martial arts, in order to sort of find inner peace. And they're really well written, and they're really hard at times. But the fact that the two of them came out this year, I enjoyed them both. I actually know them both, so... In fairness, but those are two overlooked books that I think that are worth looking at.
Okay, your turn, Meredith. Overlooked books.
I would say If You Want to Make God Laugh by Bianca Murray. She's a South African writer, and this is a story of three women who are connected by a baby. It is gritty, but there's sort of a universality to it that I think anyone can relate to, and it's a beautiful book. I read past book by her, just waiting for this one to come out this summer. And it was one that I had to recommend we buy a couple of times to get it on our shelves.
It sounds like if we have a little theme going on already, it seems as though a little bit of inspiration happening here in this studio. And maybe we all need a little inspiration right now. I want to ask you all as professionals, as librarians and bookstore owners, what kind of themes you're seeing? I know that several years, the memoir was really hot. Is that, Ari, is that still what's going on? Are memoirs still hot, or has there been a shift to or different kinds of books that people are more interested in?
I think that memoirs are, but I also think that really for the last 2 years, we've had people coming in saying, I just want something light to read.
Something light to read, something fun.
I want a distraction. I want, I want something to take me away. And you know, we really have seen, you know, a lot of the, a lot of titles that we wouldn't normally expect to bubble up just because it doesn't all have to be serious every day.
Okay.
And I think people are looking for that.
What do you think, Gary? Do you agree?
I agree, yeah. At Christmas time, though, people buy a lot of history and biography to give to each other because they're not sure which novels necessarily to give, unless we, of course, convince them. Also, right now, one of our hot sellers, maybe Ari's too, is a book called Dumpty by John Lithgow, a book of poems about a certain person we won't mention on the radio. But so there is that looking for some humor and some lightness and trying to cheer up and laugh a little bit, too.
Well, part of the trick, too, is not knowing what book someone may have read.
Right. That's the hard thing.
So yeah. That's why overlooked books are maybe real fun, because you think, well, if this didn't get a lot of attention, but it's really great, I can and give this little gem to my friend or my relative. Okay, what are you seeing at the library? What is popular right now, Meredith?
I think that political books are also popular. Books from celebrity book lists like the Jenna Bush, Hagar, Reese Witherspoon. But while you're waiting for that to come in, it's finding a read-alike that people can enjoy as they're waiting for those to come in, unless they decide to go to a local bookstore and purchase it.
All right. Well, we'll go to some calls now. We're going to go to Jack, who's calling from Bangor. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
How are you?
Great.
I published a book that came out in October called Three Steps to the Making of an Assassin. And it's a story about two young men who grew up in a small Maine mill town, and their lives are sent in different directions by events around the Vietnam War. So I think it's
and this is author Jack Cashman. And Jack, is this a novel? Is it a memoir? How would you describe your book?
It is a novel. It takes place in, much of it in the early going takes place in Old Town, which is where I grew up. So there's some personal stories in there, but basically it's fiction. And but I tried to write a book about the effect that the Vietnam War had on a lot of people, obviously, who grew up in the 60s, and that's the basis of the book. So one of the main characters ends up as an attorney, and the other ends up leading a double life. And so I think it's an interesting read, especially if you grew up in Maine.
Jack, thanks so much for calling in. That's Jack Cashman and his novel, The Three Steps to Making of an Assassin, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's see here. We'll go to a tweet from Caitlin. Lot by Brian Washington is my favorite book released in 2019 by far. Do any of you know Lot by Brian Washington? Okay, so how about this one? Amanda on Facebook, best read of the year, The Turn of the Key by Ruth Ware. Most overlooked, The Scent Keeper by Erica Bauermeister. Let's see, we will go to Greg calling from Tamworth, New Hampshire. Hi, Greg, go ahead. Greg, are you there? Shoot, hopefully Greg will call back. Let's see here. And this is a little bit of a cheat. This is from Marty Groman. Believe it or not, my favorite book of the year is a Maine book from 1948. It is by Miriam Look McMillan of Tennant's Harbor, who traveled to Labrador in the Arctic Circle in a small boat in the early 1900s, supporting stranded Eskimo communities. I found it by complete accident. It was a prop in a conference room in a fancy hotel. During a long meeting, I grabbed it to pass the time and was captivated. You're laughing, Gary. Do you know the book?
Yes, I do. I spent a summer in southern Labrador, and there aren't a lot of books about Mainers traveling to Labrador, and that was indeed one of them. And it is a really good book. And not a lot of people were going up there at that point in time.
Okay.
That's a good read.
Okay, 1948. Miriam Look McMillan. We'll make our list, even though it technically wasn't published in 2019. Janet on Facebook, The In-Betweens by Mira Patasan, a Peaks Island resident, a rich history of spiritualism and the untold origins of Camp Etna, Maine. Funny, enriching, and haunting. Mira was on Maine Calling on Halloween to talk about this book. Gary and are you all are nodding. Have you read it?
Oh, yeah. I read it, and we had Mira at the store, and she was going to bring a medium to the event at the store, but it was, like you said, it was right around Halloween, and the medium had to be in Massachusetts, in Salem, that day, so she didn't make it. But it's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book, yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks, Janet, for that recommendation. We're going to go to Winter, calling from Southwest Harbor. Hi, Winter. Go ahead.
Hello, Jennifer. Hello from Southwest Harbor. My Winter Fox is my nom de plume, and I have published three books this year. on my own imprint, Winter Fox Books, and it's the Grace Coffin series. I sent you a copy of that earlier this summer. But anyway, I would like to just let your readers know that this may be an overlooked book that they would like to take a look at. The series of books takes place right here in Southwest Harbor. And it's a coming-of-age story for teenage Grace, who moves into the Southwest. And it's a coming-to-terms story for Cormac Boisvert, who is the dead guy, who is Grace has moved into her house, into his house. And he's died, and he becomes an undead monster, a revenant, in order to come back and bring his killer to justice.
Well, Winter Fox, thank you for calling and telling us about the Grace Coffin series. I really appreciate it. We think we have Greg back. Greg in Tamworth, New Hampshire, are you there?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks very much. I actually grew up in Falmouth, Maine, so I spent a lot of time in the Falmouth Library, and I also helped to run the Oak Street Theater in Portland, where you were a regular patron, Jen, and very much welcome. I am calling to recommend a book called Searching for Stars on an Island in Maine by Alan Lightman. Alan Lightman is a physicist and an author, best known for a book called Einstein's Dreams, and he is a philosopher and a very, very fine writer. He and his wife spend summers on an island off the coast of Maine, and one night while he was motoring back to the island, he decided to shut off his motor and just look at all the stars and ponder. And thereupon, a book evolved called Searching for Stars on an Island in Maine, in which he ponders stars, the universe, the nature of God, religion, and infinity. It's a really, really wonderful book.
Greg,
it's a relatively... Yes?
I'm so glad you called to recommend that. We have had Alan Lightman on the program to talk about that book, so we're going to dig up the link to that and put it on our Facebook page and website to go with your recommendation. It's not a 2019 book, but... Heck, who cares? Ari, go ahead.
Well, it's not a 2019 book, but it is actually on the top of our list, and it's a beautiful just reflection. You don't have to be a physicist, you don't have to like me, you don't have to anything. It's a wonderful book to just read and experience.
And I will say that the book is wonderful, but I think interviewing Alan Lightman was even more wonderful. He is a really terrific interview. Greg, thanks so much for that recommendation. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your recommendations. This is the best and overlooked books of 2019. Stay with us.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Breakwater Curiosity for Life, offering exceptional day school and after-school options for toddlers through 8th grade. BreakwaterLearning.org. Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. And AARP Maine, working to lower prescription drug costs. Learn more at aarp.org/rx.
On the flip side, in my apartment, I can eat the rest of this box of cereal dry by the fistful. Look at people outside without having to smell them or listen to their opinions. Organize my ketchups.
This week on Selected Shorts, why leave the house? From PRI, Public Radio International.
That's Sunday evening at 8 here on Maine Public Radio. In this digital age, there's plenty of information everywhere, including events. But don't you sometimes wish you could find exactly what you want? This is how our community calendar works, especially if you're looking for something to do around the holiday season. You search for the date, location, venue, and/or type of event you're looking for, and there it is. The community calendar has hundreds of concerts, exhibits, lectures, and then some from all around the state. And it's always open for new listings should you want to get the word out about your event. The Community Calendar, another public service from Maine Public, online at mainepublic.org.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, the best and overlooked books of 2019. My guests are Gary Lawless, who is co-owner of the Gulf of Maine Books, Meredith Charest, Readers Advisory and Circulation Assistant at Falmouth Memorial Library, and Ari Gerson, owner of Longfellow Books. We invite you to join the conversation. You can do it by email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling, post to our Facebook page, or call 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now, Emily Connolly, who is assistant editor at Audiophile magazine. Emily, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Emily, before we hear some of your audiobook recommendations, give us a sense of how listenership to audiobooks has grown over the past few years.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've found that there are more and more audiobook listeners out there, and more audiobooks getting published every year because sales are on the rise, which is great. A lot of audiobook listeners talk about finding new time to listen to audiobooks, which helps them read more books overall, which is definitely true for me too. and there are a lot of apps that make it very easy, and people get a lot of audiobooks through the library too.
I understand Audiophile magazine recently released its best audiobooks of 2019. Can you share a few of the winners?
Yes, I'm happy to. I can say that all of our winners are highlighted up on our website, audiophilemagazine.com. And there are a bunch of different categories and audiobooks for different ages. A lot of my favorite audiobooks of the year made it on the list, which is great. One of the year's biggest titles, The Testaments by Margaret Atwood, actually really is exceptional on audio. They brought in the actor Anne Dowd, who plays Aunt Lydia on the TV adaptation, as a voice on the audiobook, and it really just adds this very creepy atmosphere. If you've watched that show, you know she's very intimidating. And we also have a bunch of interviews with audiobook narrators up on our podcast this week. Just a quick plug for that. That's Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine. And today's interview is with George Newbern, who narrated Rick Atkinson's The British Are Coming. There's a lot of good listening up there on that podcast to maybe get you inspired to find your next audiobook to listen to.
Well, Emily, thanks so much for calling in. Of course, I read The Testament, so now I'm wishing I'd listened to it instead. But either way, it's a fantastic read. Thank you so much for giving us a call. That's Emily Connolly, assistant editor at Audiophile magazine. We will have a link to their best audiobooks of 2019 on our website and Facebook page. We'll go to William, who's calling from Bridgeton. Hi, William. Go ahead.
Hi, I'd like to recommend a book my wife and I just read aloud to each other recently, The Gems of Inverness by Lenny Galino. It's an autobiographical story of how Lenny had raised his one son with autism and the other son with developmental disabilities.
William, thank you for the recommendation of the book, The Gems of Inverness by Lenny Galino. But you said your wife and you read it aloud to each other. How do you do that? Do you take turns with chapters or?
Yes, yes.
What a great idea. I love it. Thank you for calling in. We'll go to Robert calling from Belfast. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Hi. My first pick was published by Simon Schuster in the fall of 2018, is Doris Kearns Goodwin's Leadership in Turbulent Times. And it looks at four presidents, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, who respectively provided transformational leadership, crisis leadership, turnaround leadership, visionary leadership. It's a thumbnail biography of each president showing how their formation as people provided them the grounds to be the leaders that they turned out to be in times of great crisis. I think it's an excellent read. I loved it. I want to put a plug for the old professor's book shop of Belfast, where I buy all these nonfictions. And then I'm halfway through Rachel Maddow's Blowout. Anybody who's interested in what's underneath all of what's happening out there in Ukraine and Russia, this is a must read. You have to read this book because it's the bones. It's
Robert, where the bodies are buried.
Thanks so much for your call. Sort of the opposite of what you all were saying, where some people would like some escapism. This is not escapism recommendations. So thanks, Robert, for your call. We've got Anita on Facebook. Trudge by Lori Oliver Tierney. Great real-life story of a middle-aged woman conquering a challenging part of the Pacific Crest Trail after setting aside this dream while raising her family. So Trudge, a tweet. Say Nothing by Patrick Radden Keefe, an amazing piece of intertwining history of the Irish Troubles, a murder mystery, and great journalism. Gary, I see you nodding.
Well, that's just the New York Times is about to name their 10 best books of the year, and that's one of them.
That is going to be one of them.
Yeah.
Say Nothing by Patrick.
Powerful
book by Patrick Radden Keefe. Keefe, one thing I noticed on your list, Meredith, is a book that's gotten a lot of attention on a lot of these end of year books, which is The Dutch House by Ann Patchett.
The Dutch House was fabulous. And that was one that I listened to. It's read by Tom Hanks, who could really read the phone book to me. And I would still be going around Back Bay or sitting in the driveway listening because he just adds to, you know, the character sooner because of the way he reads it. It's definitely a big, I was going to say a bestseller at the library. It's checked out often. There's a huge wait list for it. And it's dysfunction at its best, but a really wonderful, wonderful read.
So it's The Dutch House by Ann Patchett, dysfunction. It's about a family, right?
It's about a family. It's a brother and his sister who are often sitting outside their childhood home, which was called The Dutch House, and trying to find a way back into that house. And it's about them growing up. Their crazy family life makes you grateful for your own family, even if your family is a little nutty. But the love between the brother and the sister is really great to read about.
Kelly on Facebook says, loved Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens, and Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. Meredith, you're nodding. These are popular at the library?
They're very popular. In fact, Where the Crawdads Sing, staff had purchased copies to read themselves because we couldn't get on the high enough on the wait list, and we started secretly passing those out to people who were waiting for that. So we had all of the library copies and then staff copies that we would just kind of lend to people, and they would bring them back because it was so popular.
I haven't read it. What is it about it?
Well, I would say this is actually a book that if we did this show 9 months ago or 10 months ago, this would have been in the overlooked category. It's beautifully written. Mm-hmm. It's our number four bestseller, but I don't know that anybody saw this coming in the way that it did. I mean, I think we all knew it was going to be a book, but it exploded this year.
Why do you think?
I think it's word of mouth. I think people heard about it, somebody's book group read it, and they just wanted to know what the buzz was about it. You really have to read to the very last word. It's a good book until the very end, and then it's a great book. People have said it's like a modern To Kill a Mockingbird.
Huh.
Same kind of story, same kind of feeling.
You know, it's interesting when you say that about book clubs, the power of book clubs. I mean, I know for libraries, but for bookstores too. I mean, is this a big part of your audience today, your customer base?
We have three or four book clubs that meet in the store.
In the store.
Every month. And numerous other book clubs that, you know, sort of work with us. They really take it upon themselves, in terms of what they, you know, what their direction is. We don't really guide that. But we definitely work with every book club that we can find to provide that.
And I think that Where the Crawdads was definitely a book club book in Brunswick, that book clubs started reading it and started telling each other. And same thing happened with Gentleman in Moscow. The book club started reading that, and then that really took off too. And there was, but you can see when all of a sudden 12 people come in the same week asking for the same book, they're probably in that book club. You know, the book clubs will gather around particular titles.
What do you think they have in common, the books that the book clubs like?
I think it's discussability, and usually a good discussion comes when somebody didn't like the book. When everybody loved it or everybody thought it was a good book, they don't come back talking about their discussion, but they will come in and say, oh, so-and-so really didn't like this book, and we had the best conversation about why.
Probably why Olive Kitteridge was such a great book club book in its day, because people had really strong feelings about Olive. They either really liked her and related to her, or they did not like her at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this month she's Oprah's book club pick, so she's doing all right right now.
Well, go. Speaking of Brunswick, we'll go to Maria. Hi, Maria. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Maria.
I read so much kid lit, it's really hard for me to pick one. But my absolute favorite book of the year is a children's picture book by Maine author Charlotte Agel called Maybe Tomorrow. And it's a story about the healing power of friendship. And it's told through these beautiful illustrations and interactions of these two little whimsical, almost Moomin-like characters. And I would say that this is a beautiful book to give a child who might be dealing with sadness or loss, but also a book you could give an adult who's going through the same thing. It's an absolutely marvelous book, and it never fails to move me every time I read it.
And it's called Maybe Tomorrow?
Maybe Tomorrow.
Maria, thanks for the recommendation. An email from Becky, which is actually a question. I want to get a book for my son and his wife. She likes to read out loud to him while in bed at night. So, bedtime reading for adults. Anything pop into your guys' minds?
It feels like a complicated question.
Yeah.
My husband and I never read the same book, so I don't know what we would pick. But I would say nonfiction, and one that came out in paperback this year was Tell Me More by Kelly Corrigan. She is just right in the thick of life, of being a mother, of being a writer and a wife. She is really funny in the way she talks about it. But this book was 12 of the Hardest Things I'm Learning to Say. It's a book that I read when it first came out, and I thought, I'm going to need this in the future. This year, I needed that book, and there it was. I listened to it, and it's one that, you know, each chapter kind of stands alone. So if you don't read 50 pages to each other, you can read one chapter and feel like you've kind of had something to talk about in the future.
What about On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous?
I haven't read that yet.
Yeah. Could you?
Because
I'm trying to envision.
Too sad.
Could you? I know. Like, what is that at night reading to each other? It's such a gorgeous book, but it's.
Oh, is that the one with the young woman who's dying of
cancer?
Ocean
Vuong. But it's so powerful. I guess the question is, do you want to escape when you read at night, or do you want to connect when you read at night?
And what do you want to dream about?
What
do you?
We'll go to Joanne, who's calling from Rockland. Hi, Joanne. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I wanted to recommend the book Rising, by Elizabeth Rush. It's a collection of her stories about working with communities that are impacted by climate change in their coastal marshes. And she was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for this book. She's taught at Bates, and some of the stories in the book are about Maine communities and helping people develop stories on how to cope with what's happening.
So tell me again the name of the book, Joanne.
It's called Rising.
Rising by Elizabeth Rush.
Yes.
Thanks for the recommendation. We are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your comments, your questions about books, your recommendations. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bull Moose, celebrating the tactile experience of reading and proponents of dog ears and bookmarks. Locations across Maine and at bullmoose.com. And Damariscotta River Grill, celebrating 16 years of serving grown-up comfort food. Open year-round on Main Street in Damariscotta. DamariscottaRiverGrill.com.
President Trump says it was completely normal to hold security aid to Ukraine.
Why would you give money to a country that you think is corrupt?
People in charge of the funds don't buy it.
It was laughable. They've never expressed concern to us about corruption in Ukraine or, frankly, anywhere.
So what is normal when it comes to foreign aid? This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered this afternoon from 4 to 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio. And coming up next is the New Hampshire Public Radio Exchange Political Forum with Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who is seeking the Democratic presidential nomination. That's coming up this afternoon at 2 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, book ideas for your to-read list or to give this holiday season. My guests are Gary Lawless with Gulf of Maine Books, Ari Gerson with Longfellow Books, and Meredith Charest with Falmouth Memorial Library. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Ellen on Facebook writes, I'm from Children's Bookseller, Waterville. This Tender Land by William Kent Kruger and The Guest Book by Sarah Blake. Overlooked favorite, Underground Airlines in paperback now by Ben Winters. The Children's Bookseller, and a seller is spelled C-E-L-L-A-R. So thank you, Ellen, for that post. Ari, I understand you have something special for children going on at Longfellow Books this season.
We do. So tomorrow is Bring Your Child to a Bookstore Day. This will be our fourth or fifth year doing this, where we give every child who comes in a free book up to $10. That's basically anybody under 18. We start the day off with a performance by Portland Stage. We have Chris Van Dusen, we have Scott Nash, we have Ryan Higgins, who will be in for a few hours in the morning, signing books and meeting children. We are up to giving away over 500 books in a day, which is up from a little over 100 a few years ago. I really want to give away, you know, I want us to get to 1,000. Which is probably a bad idea on my part, but, it's controlled chaos is the best way I can describe tomorrow, but it's the best day of the year. It's so much fun. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. And so if you're around, come by at some point during the day and grab a free book.
All right. Wow. We'll go to Kathy calling from Waldo. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm enjoying your show. I wanted to talk about Edward Snowden's book, Permanent Record. You know, many people would say, I don't want to read about him. He's unpatriotic. He's a traitor. Even Obama said he's not a patriot. But I think if people read this book, he starts out with his childhood, and, you know, he really went through a lot of self-examination to put into a story what his life was like from the time he was six, and how he became attracted to, IT and the computer. It is a book about many people who are attracted by the computer age, but the things that he clung to as he matured and grew older are very revealing about why he did what he did. And in this time when we're going through an impeachment thing and people wanting to be president, everyone should read this book, because for a young man to be that concerned about what is happening to his country, that he's willing to reveal a very terrible thing that our government was doing.
Kathy, thank you for your call and your recommendation. We'll move on. We're going to go up to Limestone to Teddy. Hi, Teddy. Go ahead. Teddy, are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Yep, go ahead.
My book recommendation is going to be a gift that I got from my granddaughter, and it's a name, Ganilak is the name by Rethnage Skor. It's a novel that takes place in Maine and Canada, and it's funny because it got nominated for awards in Maine and Canada. It's about these two people that get, you know, your classic Lost in Mountain, and then they get attacked by a bear.
They get attacked by a bear? Oh, gosh, we're losing Teddy. I think we got the name of the book, though, and it's by Rex Inegskor, Inegskoor. So, Teddy, thank you. And if you have a computer handy, go ahead and confirm that on our Facebook page so we can get it on the list. We'll go to Bob, who's calling from Goldsboro. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. I think you ought to have a special show for just people who like to read to each other, because, and especially the old books. But at any rate, I'm calling in because I heard so many of you amazed that people read to each other. I have actually been doing this beyond my present wife of 30-some years, and that is The Cult Calendar by Robert Peter Tristram Coffin. It is a month by month of what it was like 100 years ago living on an island farm in Casco Bay. And the joy of it is that you begin to know the family, and my wife and I now expect everything to happen. We still cry up in November because of what happens. But at any rate, it's a great way to find perhaps 20 minutes a month to be with each other and share the events, Robert Peter Tristram Coffin, growing up on a farm in Casco Bay. I would also recommend, we have been doing the last few years, The Ledge by William Sargent Bryant. It's also on YouTube. It is the best short story ever written. And I urge you the day after Christmas or Christmas to share that with each other. Thank you.
Bob, that's high praise. And Gary, you've been nodding, so you know these.
Well, these are both Brunswick authors, both Bowdoin College-related authors. And The Ledge is, one of the best short stories ever written. I would recommend if you read The Ledge, go to the Brunswick Times record and read the actual account of the event. And compare what a fiction writer does, how they change a historical event to make it even more powerful.
And The Ledge is the author again?
What is his name?
Bob, what's the author's name
Sergeant
again?
Sergeant Hall.
The author is Sergeant. Help me there.
We'll figure it out and put it on our website.
Isn't it Sergeant Hall?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, we'll figure that out. We'll go to Liga, who's calling from Friendship. Hi, Liga, go ahead.
Yes, well, thank you very much, and it's delightful to talk to you and with you. And I know Gary. I hope Gary remembers who Liga in Friendship is. And I wanted to make a comment on the joys I've been experiencing as of having been a lifelong reader, but discovering audiobooks. And, of course, they've been around for a long time, but not in my life. And I'm especially enjoying reading in quotes, the audiobooks that are read by the author. And I was told by a librarian that isn't always the case, that sometimes authors aren't the best readers. So I do understand that. But the first one that was, of course, Michelle Obama's Becoming, which was a wonderful experience for me to hear her voice reading her words. And I am now waiting from Interlibrary Loan, this new system from Yarmouth, of all places, The Shortest Way Home by Pete Buttigieg, and he has read his own book. So I just wanted to comment on that's a very special kind of connection for me with audiobooks when the author is also the reader.
Lika, thank you for calling and sharing your experience. And Meredith, you are smiling.
I'm smiling because I had the same experience with Becoming and Michelle Obama reading it. That was the first audiobook that really got me on to listening and finding time and places in the day to listen. It was a great story, a great book, but she is a great reader. There's another one called Hobbin, the deaf-blind woman who conquered Harvard Law, and she reads it herself, which is really worth a listen as well.
And Hobbin is H-A-B-A-N.
Right, Hobbin Gurma.
All right, Lika, thanks for your call. Ned on Facebook says, my favorite book of the past year is The Beneficiary by Janie Scott. She was a New York Times reporter who grew up in a prominent family in Philadelphia's Main Line. Her grandmother was the inspiration for the Katharine Hepburn character in The Philadelphia Story. It is beautifully written and unexpectedly a compelling mystery story. I couldn't put it down. So that's The Beneficiary by Janie Scott. Let's see. Speaking of audiobooks, this is from Martha. Listening Library just put out a new version of Charlotte's Web with Meryl Streep as its narrator. Maine's own author-illustrator Melissa Sweet did the artwork for the cover and added a brief introduction. And by the way, Stuart Little turns 75 in 2020, and The Trumpet of the Swan turns 50, so there will be new celebratory editions. And for those of you needing a ray of hopefulness in these political times, don't miss the E.B. White On Democracy, just out this year from HarperCollins, with an introduction by Pulitzer Prize winner John Meacham. Another audiobook recommendation. Fantastic. We'll go to Ashley calling from Kennebunk. Hi, Ashley. Go ahead.
Hi. I read out loud to my partner, and so we have our book club because we know the same books, and we do it often in the car. So I want to chime in on how lovely it is to read out loud. Some novels we've particularly liked. One is Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips. It takes place as the Soviet Union breaks up in the far north, and there are indigenous peoples who have intertwined lives. Another is also beautifully written, the prize winner, Olga, I don't know Polish, but Tokarczuk, Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead, which is a kind of animal rights novel, very unusual, very gripping, and that takes place in Poland near the Czech Republic. And the third one that's not so exquisitely written, an old-fashioned narrative called The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek by Kim Michelle Richards. But the research is fascinating. We found it very difficult to put down. It takes place in Kentucky during the Depression in rural Kentucky. So those are three we have particularly liked.
Ashley, thanks so much for calling in. An email from David. Ridge Runner by Jared Averill, an autobiography memoir of a man who grew up down east around 1900. Always loved the outdoors, worked as a clerk in logging camps before 1920, and has wonderful stories from the camps. Eventually became one of the first game wardens. Worked at that for some time. A vivid writer, though I don't think he wrote anything else. Highly recommended. Ridge Runner by Jared Averill. And then we have an answer to our question. The author of The Ledge is Lawrence Sargent Hall. So when you said Sargent Hall, you all were very close. So here we go. This is an email from George. A very interesting and very original book we've read is Stories and Poems of the Good and the Horrible, Things from the Mind of the Shaggoth, for the Young and Young at Heart by Tony Scarpelli. The book is full of great stories and poems that are really fun to read and nothing really scary. He's a Maine author, too. It's now available as a Kindle book and can be read on other devices by downloading the Kindle app. How popular are books by Maine authors, Ari? Are people coming in looking specifically for them, or do we just have such an embarrassment of riches that it works out that way?
Well, I don't know what the reason is, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of talent. We also have a hugely supportive Maine community of literary, but also just readers. And for the most part, I mean, we see some of our most fun events are a first book by a local writer, and 70 people are in the store just to come out and support. So yeah, Maine writer, absolutely. The local Maine writer is a huge thing.
And Gary, you're nodding. Also, the list that you sent us is almost all Maine authors.
Well, that was on purpose. Yeah, I mean, we really try to support the Maine writing community, and it works because and it's not just the Maine reader. All summer people are coming in and they want to read Maine books. They want Maine kids' books. They want Maine novels. They want history about Maine. And then there are, you know, a whole group of writers who have moved to Maine and find the Maine experience enriching to their work, too. I want to just mention one that we're especially selling right now. It's called The Hermit by Jeffrey Ryan, and it's about a hermit up in Monson in the beginning of the 20th century who has a lot of money and no one seems to know where it comes from. And when you find out where it comes from, it's fairly shocking and surprising. But it's
and
a
this
really
is nonfiction?
It's nonfiction, yeah.
That sounds great.
It's a good book.
Sounds like a great gift for my father-in-law. So if you're listening, shut your ears.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you wrap it up, Meredith. Give us one more recommendation before we say goodbye this Friday.
One more recommendation. I would say first, Sandra Day O'Connor's biography, read it or listen to it, and really any of the Supreme Court biographies would be great.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here today. That voice was Meredith Charest. She's Reader's Advisory and Circulation Assistant at Falmouth Memorial Library. Ari Gerson was here. He's the owner of Longfellow Books. If there's a kid in your life, go to Longfellow Books tomorrow and get a free book. Gary Lawless is co-owner of the Gulf of Maine Books. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Our theme music was composed by Mike Jandro. There it is. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Go read a good book.